Just quick introduction. What we've been doing the last 2 weeks is this class is called A Biblical Worldview. And if you don't know what a biblical worldview is, well, welcome to the class. This is about taking the Bible, taking the principles of the Bible, and using them in all parts of life. A lot of Christians think that the only thing is to get saved, get into church, and that's the end of the story. That's just the beginning of the story. All right, we are to take our faith into all different areas. In fact, I was talking to one of the young girls that was standing up yesterday in the wedding, and she told me she was going to Michigan State University. Ed was up there with me. And I asked her what she was studying, and she told me that she originally was in some type of biology, and then she was changing her major to sociology. And so I asked her, I said, well, what does a Christian bring into the realm of sociology? Well, it was like, you know, she had never heard that question before, because when you go to the university, they're going to teach you from their perspective what society should be like, okay? And what they're going to teach them is going to be totally contrary to what the Scriptures say society should be like. And we see that today. We've talked about our Supreme Court and the laws of the land that they pass. They're forming society a certain way, and Christians should be influencing society a certain way. Within 40 years after the ascension of Christ, the Roman Empire was so inundated with Christians that it began to change their law system and their culture. Okay? They had persecuted the church, but the more they persecuted it, the more it grew. And the more it grew, the more influence it had. Okay? And that's our job, is to be lights in the midst of darkness, to speak and to bring God's revelation to all mankind. So we bring salvation. That's where it starts in the heart. But it goes out from there into all areas. And so we're the recipients of a Christian worldview. The Western society had a certain view of man, certain view of society, certain view of right and wrong that set it apart from the rest of the world. The unfortunate thing is we are now going back to a pagan view, or an anti-Christ view, and it's impacting our culture in a very negative way. So let's just quickly review from last week. Last week we discovered what type of important questions every worldview tries to answer. The packet that you have, at the back of that you'll see, those are questions. You'll see, give me that, Cheryl. Just, it looks just like this. You'll see that. I'll give it back to you, I promise. Okay. You know, questions such as, what is ultimate reality? You go to a university today, ultimate reality is nothing but the material creation that you see. But yet revealed to us in Scripture that there's another realm, a realm that's inhabited by God, by angels, by demons, okay? And so it's very important that we understand that, because it will affect our thinking in all different types of areas. How about our origins? We talked a little bit about that. We said in a Christian view, origins, we are created in the image of God. Genesis tells us we are a special creation, made a little lower than the angels. But in the evolutionary view, you are an accident. Your life has no purpose. You're just the product, okay, of billions of years of a progression of evolution that's undirected, has no goal in mind. You just happen to be the lucky benefit of chance. All right, so all these different things, and we talked about those. This is what a worldview tries to do, and this is what the Bible does. But unfortunately, the church is more caught up a lot of times in just getting people saved, being happy, being within their own four walls, and they don't get out into the world and take the gospel into all parts of the world to change the culture. Okay? We watch what an alien or a false worldview does to any society. And you remember I used the movie clip from War of the Worlds. Not the old one, but the newer one with, what's his name? Tom Cruise, yeah. And we took that little part and we said, this is what a worldview, well, any worldview, whether it's Christianity, Islam, secularism, Hinduism, it doesn't matter what it is, they all follow a similar path because they're all bent on world conquest. And we said, is Islam bent on world conquest? Yes, it is. How about Christianity? Yes, it is. It should be. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Disciple the nations. Psalm 2 tells us about the Father asking the Son, the anointed one, ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will rule them with a rod of iron and break them into pieces like pottery. So we see there's an all-encompass view to dominate the world. Now, the way Christians go about it is totally different than the way Islam or secular humanism goes about it, but they all have a view to dominate the world. All right. Well, today we want to begin to look at and discover how we can destroy an alien worldview. It's important. You're going to come up against people, whether it's in the university, whether it's in a high school, whether it's on the job, it doesn't matter where you're at. Somebody's going to come and they're going to have a different worldview. They may not know what it's based upon. They may say, well, I feel this way, or I think this way. And you ask them, well, why do you feel or think that way? And that's the end of the discussion. They really don't know. There's no grounds for it. As Christians, we say, well, I believe this way because the Scripture reveals this to be the right way. Let's talk about homosexual marriage. You have a society now that is promoting it and blessing it. As you stand up and you say something against it, what happens? You're going to be demonized, probably lose your job. Okay, a young girl I was talking to, she's an RA up at Michigan State. She told me that part of her training was to learn how to be sensitive to gender identity differences. And she told me up on the campus there, and nobody believed me when I used to say this years ago, I said, they now have on a floor that I could go in there and say that I'm a female, even though I'm a male, and they would respect that, and they'd put me in with a female in a roommate, as a roommate. Okay? And so they got men and women cohabitating together in rooms, and all you got to do is say, well, I got a gender identity of this or that or this or that. And the RAs are taught, well, we're not to be judgmental. We have to work with them. We have to accept them. I hate that we're going to see that we do not accept false words. We are called to speak up, not out of hate, but out of love, trying to bring about a right view about reality and what God wants for your life and everything else in between. All right? So we're going to see today how we can destroy alien worldview. And we'll try to evaluate our present worldview. You have a worldview, whether you know it or not. There are things that you believe to be true, and when if I were to ask you, why do you believe that? A lot of Christians, well, I don't know. That's the way I was raised. That's what I was taught, blah, 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 blah. That does not suffice for us as Christians. We better have scriptural support if we believe something, okay? And I've said this many times. I know Bob has in the cult class that your average Jehovah's Witness will turn an average Christian into a pretzel when it comes to discussing the Scripture because biblical literacy is at an all-time low. And we're called to be students of the Word, okay? We better know what the Scriptures actually say so that we can make a defense for the faith, but also influence and bring people into true faith, okay? Very important. So you'll see where your worldview stands, whether or not it lines up, just in a few areas, just to show you that you can be a Christian and yet be off on some things that the Scripture teaches. All right, want to gain an understanding about how the world and Christians look at the world. You look at the world through a particular lens, and I look at it, and the world looks at it. Y'all, some of you have glasses on. If I were to take Donna's glasses there and look through those things, okay, it'd probably look like the fun house at the carnival. You know, everybody be kind of all wavy and stuff. If you gave them to Bob, he probably could see for the first time in his life. So we all have these different views. You remember going to a carnival when you were a kid, and you go into the fun house, they had those warped mirrors. That was the only time I ever looked good. I look at it, I go, hey, you know, I kind of look good. Now, all right, so these are things that we want to do today or try to do today. And let us go on. We're going to watch a little video. It's only about a minute and a half. If you ever saw the movie Independence Day. Now, as you watch this, and there's a reason I show these little clips like this, is because if you remember the clip, you'll be able to remember a lot of the principles that we're going to look at. But these alien movies are great because it's always about an invasion. Someone trying to take over the earth. And as I said earlier, are we trying to take over the earth, the kingdom of God, expanding? Yes. We're trying to influence nations to come to Christ. All right, if we could hit the lights there. And
open the door. Get him out of there.
No, wait.
Release me!
Listen to the dialogue also. Watch what happens.
And now there is much we can learn from each other if we can negotiate a truce. We can find a way to coexist. Can there be a peace between us? What is it you want us to do?
Okay, yeah. Now, there are a lot of things in this little video clip that are very, very important when it comes to our view of the world. All right? So in our clip here, one of the things that impressed me, you see this scientist, if you saw the movie, he was captured, or he was in this room and this thing grabbed him and was choking him to death. And that is what an alien worldview will ultimately do. It will grab a hold of a society and it will choke it to death. It will slowly strangle it. You see, this nation was built upon Christian principles, but back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, we begin to move away from those principles and adopt secular ideas. And our society began to get choked off. You go into any country in the world today, same thing is happening unless it's a Christian nation. You go into a Muslim nation, and what is happening there? You have Egypt, you have Libya, you have Syria, these nations that were controlled by dictators, and that was bad enough, but once they were removed, what happened? The radicals came in and really made it a hellhole on earth. Okay? And so in our little video there, we see that if we're going to combat an alien worldview, we better be properly armed. Now, that doesn't mean we're walking around, you know, like the guy in the picture there with or joining some militia. Okay? Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so Paul using an analogy here. And he says that scripture that you have, that Bible that you have, acts as a sword. Okay? In a spiritual sense. It's going to cut through all the various arguments or ideas that the world is going to throw at us. And we talked about taking every thought captive, right? And we talked about the philosophy of the world. Now, philosophy is not a bad thing. It's when it's a worldly philosophy that we have to be careful about, okay? And we have to know how to discern that. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we better be properly armed. But how many of you know you can walk around with a gun all day? That doesn't mean you know how to shoot the doggone thing. You know, a lot of men and women in the church will have CCW permits. They don't just hand those out. Some guy walking up to the door, would you like a CCW permit? Oh, yeah, I'll take one. No, there is training. There is equipping that must take place. So we've got to be properly armed. Just like in this movie, the soldiers had the sidearms and they were able to destroy the alien. From Acts chapter 17, as soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. And arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. For they received the message with great eagerness, and what did they do? They examined the Scripture every day. They didn't do a devotional that lasted a minute and read one little Scripture verse. They studied it. Okay, we get a little Scripture pops up on our phone or on our iPad each day, and that's your verse for the day, and that somehow is, you know, your spiritual walk being nourished spiritually. No, that's not what the Bereans did. They went every day and they talked about it, but they examined the Scripture every day to see if what Paul said was what? True. What was the basis of truth for the Bereans? The Scripture. We have the truth here. Do we, you know, and that's what we're called to believe, aren't we? Jesus said, I am the truth. He told Pilate, all on the side of truth, listen to me. And so we have God's revealed truth about everything. Sammy getting married today, do we talk about what the Scripture has to say about marriage, about finances, about treating your wife or treating your husband a certain way. Okay? So when we live according to what the Scripture says, then we know that we live in peace. We got God's favor upon us. But so many people receive a message that comes along the trail and they never examine it against the Scripture. All right? And I hate to say this, unfortunately, many, many churches today, there's a different gospel being preached. And it's a very subtle gospel. You know, we use the example of the prosperity, the health, wealth. Everybody should be healed. Everybody should be rich. Okay, that is not the gospel. It sounds very appealing. Why? Because they use Scripture. We don't know how to discern it. But the Bereans were very, very astute when it came to checking it out. If it didn't agree with the Scriptures, guess what? They rejected. Isaiah 8, 19 and 20 says this, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Isn't that where it starts? But how many times it's usually, you know, that's the last place we go. Isn't it? You know, you always see in the movies, they try this, they try that, and then finally the guy drops down his knees in jail. God help me. You know, there was that old movie, I know we talked about it before, about the guy that hit was, and I can't remember, he was dying of cancer. And he's out in the ocean, and he's drowning, but he can see the shoreline about 5 miles away. Lord, just help me get out of this situation. I'll give you 100%. I'll give you it all, God. I'll give it to you all. Don't let me drown out here. And there's sharks circling him. And he starts swimming, and you can see he barely makes it when he gets about a mile closer. Lord, help me. I'll give you 75% of everything. I'll give you 3/4 of it all. And then the closer he gets to shore, it goes down. Okay, and that's the way it is. And God wants all of it. So he says, why consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, in other words, to the Scripture, if they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. In other words, they don't have no light of God. They have no revelation. I was talking about the young girl at Michigan State, and we were talking about her biology class. And Ed, you remember what she was saying when she asked the professor? Yeah, Ed, you remember? Oh, wait a minute. You have no light of dawn. Somebody light him up. Huh? It was about when she confronted him after class about his religious views. She said, do you have any type of religious view? And his first answer was, sometimes. Huh? Sometimes. Depending, like, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all right, I'm going to be religious. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I'll be half religious. And Saturday on Sunday, well, I'll kick it into gear and, you know. And the truth is, he is religious all the time because he always cares. But he didn't want to tip his hand. And he was trying to make it, well, you know, I'm scientific. I want the facts. So I can't believe in God unless I see it, smell it, touch him, you know, and introduce to him. And you'll hear this kind of nonsense from so-called very intelligent people. All right? But a lot of young people, a lot of Christians couldn't answer it and say, well, you know, professor, why do you have a belief? Why don't you? And begin to question them a little bit. Because I guarantee you start asking some questions to various people and they'll find out real quickly how shallow what they believe really is. All right, so these guys, Isaiah is told that you better consult the Scripture. All right, I had a couple of Christians come in for some counseling a couple of weeks ago, and they told me, they said, well, Pastor, we're coming to you, but, you know, we went to a spiritist a couple of weeks ago. I go, huh? They go, yeah, we just thought it would be fun. And, you know, I was like Curly on the Three Stooges, you know, banging my head against the wall. I go, first of all, I rebuked them. I said, you know, what you did is a violation of God's law, and you should know better. And here's what they said. We know, but we still thought it would be fun. We wanted an answer to our question. I said, why didn't you call me first? And then I proceeded to show them in a matter of about 5 minutes that they were suckers. I pulled out a deck of cards, did some of my world-famous magic tricks. And they thought that I was like Merlin the magician. And I'm telling them, I can read your mind. And I had them eating out of the palm of my hand. And I said, it's all baloney. Okay? So if it doesn't line up with God's word, we're to reject it. Okay? There's nothing neutral. Everything that is created has been created by God. Every atom in the universe was created by God for a specific purpose. All right? Everyone. He knows the purpose. Our job is to use His creation to discover the wonders of His creation and use it for His glory. All right, in our video 2, We said that not only you have to be properly armed, you better be properly trained. You don't give a young kid a gun and expect him to know how to use it. Once again, remember on the Three Stooges, they're babysitting. And Curly goes over to him and gives the kid a revolver, and the kid's sucking on the end of the revolver. And Moe looks, whoa, you know, what are you doing? But that's the way we are. We're giving equipment that's set for destruction to people that are unskilled in how in using it. Bob, when you tell the story all the time about going into the bar, how many ministers did you used to meet sitting on the bar stool?
Plenty, as long as you buy them a drink, they'd preach to you.
And they were pretty good, weren't they?
They were doggone good. They knew their word.
Okay, they knew it. They had been trained, but something went wrong, and they're sitting there. Are they going to be of any effect? No. That's what Christians do. They spout off the scriptures, and then they're getting drunk, and they're carrying on, and they're acting just like the world. So you got to be properly trained. One of the things I love watching are MMA fights, because you can't go into that ring untrained, can you? There's a show called Bully Beatdown. And what they do is they find a bully out on the street, and they offer him money to get into the ring with an MMA fighter for two rounds. One round they wrestle, one round they box, and they give the guy the headgear. And every one of these bullies, I'm going to get it, I'm going to take them down, and blah, blah, blah. And I go, you're going in the ring with a professional fighter. And every show, these guys are just getting, boom, hammered around at the end there. And it's a great show on repentance, because every one of these bullies at the end, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to pick on them. And then they shake hands, and, you know, they become friends. You pull it up sometime. It really is. It shows you, you know, kind of the wisdom of the scripture, but we got to be properly trained. You don't want to get in a ring with somebody that is more skilled than you are. All right. Scripture. Jesus said this. Thomas, would you read that for us, please? All right. So when we are fully trained. So this is Jesus talking about it. All right. His disciples walked with him for three and a half years. He was training. He was pouring into them the ways of God, knowledge about the kingdom of God. They were watching the miracles that were taking place. They were watching the people's lives that were being transformed. And so you don't take somebody who's semi-trained and throw them into the battle, but they need to be fully trained. And that's why so many, you know, like back in the old days, all churches usually had their own schools, because they weren't going to entrust their children to the education of the public schools. And so the Catholic Church had their schools, and Jewish schools had theirs, and the Presbyterian. So they all had their own schools because they wanted to pass on to another generation what they believed the Scripture was teaching. All right? So that's why it's so important. That's why we have these classes. That's why we have classes throughout the week, and we have the Bible studies. And all these things are what to equip us so that when we go out, we can use that information. That's why you go on mission trips. How many of you guys have been on mission trips here? Raise your hand. Okay? When we went on a mission trip, how much training did you get? Give them an example. So Kim was, she was in charge of a dance, so you had to meet with your dancers. They had to learn how to do personal testimonies. They had to learn how to share a message. They had to learn some Spanish. Okay? Kim didn't learn much, but we had Elma there as the interpreter. All right? Puppet ministry. Music, all the songs that we did were all in Spanish. They had to memorize the songs that they were musician. They had to learn the songs without having to pay for it, because we would go through the airport, boom, 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 and just start playing. Or we'd be out on the beach, or we'd be in a restaurant, or we'd be wherever in a park, and we would just start playing. Okay? Well, we didn't want to have to fumble for papers and look. We wanted to pick up, because when the opportunity presented itself. So, and Ray, I'm sure when you went to Mexico and Russia, you went through all sorts of training too. They gave you a background on the country and similar stuff like that, correct? Yeah. What country did you enjoy the most when you went on your mission? They remember you. They remember you. And you go back, we'd go up to the Indian reservation, or we'd go to the certain churches doing building projects and same thing. And you're beat at the end of the day because you're doing heavy work, and it's about 130 degrees out with 100% humidity, and you're just drained. There was physical training that we recommended people, and there was training that went into taking care of people that were sick, so we tried to cover all the bases as much as we could. So Jesus tells us we need to be fully trained, so we need to understand the Scripture. That doesn't mean you're going to memorize the whole book, but you should at least have a very good working knowledge of it. We need to be properly motivated. See, you could be properly armed, and you could be properly trained, but if you don't have the motivation, Sarge, do you ever jump out of an airplane? Okay, Anthony, yeah. Okay, first time you jumped out of an airplane, was there anybody said, I'm not doing it? Okay, what happened to him? In this church, you can't say no either, right? Yeah, and if you were to say no, I guarantee you them guys are going to just razz you. What's the matter, man? You a chicken? Huh? You know, you're supposed to jump. You know, when they tell you jump, you jump. There's no questions asked. And so you got to have that proper motivation because you're standing there looking on. You're about a mile and a half up. You're like, I don't want to jump. You remember that movie Apocalypse Now? I don't want to go. The guy, they're trying to get him out of the helicopter to get into battle. Finally, they kicked him out the door. And that's the way we are a lot of times. We go screaming, and we have to have the proper motivation. And the proper motivation is being equipped in the Word, but also empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at this passage here. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them, opposing Paul, and I think Barnabas was with him at this time, and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Now, the proconsul was an administrator of the Roman Empire in a certain area. I think they were in Crete when this happened. And filled with the Holy Spirit, then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. He doesn't care what you do. Oh, I'm sorry. I've heard that so many times. You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. Paul wasn't afraid to call a spade a spade. This guy, this sorcerer, this was a battle right here. Two worldviews in conflict. Here on one side you had the Christian worldview. On the other side you had Elymas the sorcerer who was trying to convince this proconsul that Paul was wrong. Is that what they do in the universities? Is that what they do on most television shows? Oh, you better believe it. And so you have a battle on your hands, but notice what he said, you're a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and tricky, and will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? I mean, we should take that one and mail that to the Supreme Court and all our legislators and governors, because everything they do is a perversion now, not all of them, but the great majority of them, and perverting the way of the Lord. Was Paul properly motivated? Or was he intolerant and maybe had an angry spirit? No, there was a righteousness. He knew what God said was right and what was wrong, didn't he? And he wasn't going to back down. But under public pressure, under peer pressure, under pressure of losing our jobs or whatever, we are silenced in the workplace or in the schools, and we don't want to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. Kind of the John Baptist, Herod, what you're doing is wrong. Oh, yeah? Toss him in jail. Did he ever recant? No, he didn't recant. He lost his head over it. Okay? All right, so properly motivated. We also got to be willing. You can be properly motivated. I'm going to do it. And then never have really to push yourself over that line. Be willing and able to act when the opportunity presents itself. Like in that video, they didn't kill that alien, did they? At first, but he's choking that guy and they're watching, they're communicating with it. You know. And I like what the president says. He says, we can communicate and we can do this and we can do that and we can live as friends. Uh-uh. You can coexist. Yeah, like that bumper sticker. You've all seen that bumper sticker, coexist, had all the religious symbols on there, which is a lie. By the way, maybe you know this, maybe you didn't. You know those two brothers that set the bombs there in Boston? Well, the one brother ran over his other brother and killed him with a car they stole. Do you know what was on the back bumper of that car? That sticker, coexist. Yes. Yes. I mean, that was kind of, you know, ironic as to what happened. We cannot coexist with these alien worldviews. They're going to seek for a while. Some of them will lay below the surface, but given the opportunity, they will come above the surface and begin to destroy the dominant worldview. All right? And it happens. You look at the communist nations, what they do once they got the majority, they attacked the church because the church was the predominant view. And they want the church. Racism went into Russia, and so he probably saw and heard a lot of the history when they fell under communism. Okay, and Russia was a Christian nation at one time. In other words, there was a big influence there from the Russian Orthodox Church. But when communism came out, they just took everything. They converted those churches into museums and and because it was a competing view. And you can't coexist. And they know it. They know it better than the church does. Somebody's going to win the day. Somebody's going to set the law. Somebody's going to set the punishment. Somebody's going to set the way society should be. All right. Still with our story, now it continues. Now the hand of the Lord, this is Paul speaking to the sorcerer. Now the hand of the Lord is against you. Well, there's a good message. How'd you like to see a preacher on TV, maybe on a, and they start spouting off, well, abortion is, you know, a woman's right, and all of a sudden you hear one of the men and women say, the hand of the Lord is against you. What you're doing is a vile abomination in the eyes of God. You are destroying a human life. Do we hear that? No, we hear, well, you know, we want to backtrack and not be so bold. Now, the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind. And for a time, you will be unable to see the light of the sun. Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And when the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching of the Lord. I love that. I love that. Paul called, boom, you're going to be blind. Could you imagine that? Standing there, and somebody who's opposed to you is now blinded by God, and he begins to grope about. I'm sure everybody that saw that was affected some way. We know that miracles themselves don't transform the heart, but I tell you what, this proconsul transformed his heart. He was amazed. He chose sides. He chose the right side. So you have to be willing and also able to act. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And being empowered by the Holy Spirit, what empowers us to go out and be witnesses for the cause of Christ? That word actually means martyr. Okay? To give our lives for the cause. And so Paul here, he confronts them. I remember one time I was doing mission work down in Jamaica. And this guy came out and he was kind of confrontational. And he was in the back. He was giving our people some problems. And he stood in the back smoking a cigarette. We were at this place called Christiana. It was way up in the mountains. And I saw him when I was done ministering. I said, you, sir, come here. I want to pray for you. And he just kind of standing there, but he wouldn't come up. And the Spirit of God just moved upon me, and I began to prophesy. I said, sir, God wants your heart. He knows the life. I hadn't even seen this guy before. And all of a sudden, he starts walking up, and he came up, and he stood in front of him, just raised his hands. And we prayed over him. So afterwards, one of the guys comes and goes, Pastor, do you know who that was? I go, I have no idea. I don't know anybody in Jamaica. He goes, that man is a bad man. He runs all the gangs. He's the drug runner in this area, and he runs all the strip joints, and he has all the bars. And that place over there was his. And I still remember to this day the vision the Lord gave me, him sitting in a jail cell with a light coming through the window, and the door open. And the entrance was illuminated, and God was calling him to lay down everything and walk through that door and walk away from it. It wasn't, you know, just confess Jesus. No, it was walk away from this life of sin. I have no idea what happened. I pray that, you know, he's serving God today, but I'll never forget that. And these guys are looking at me, and they're like, we can't believe you did that. I go, it wasn't me. I said, I don't even know who the guy was. I just thought he was over giving, you know, smoking a cigarette and giving us kind of a hard time. That's right. And Saul himself was a blasphemer, a persecutor of the church, okay? And this guy here, I don't know about you, but if that had happened to me, I'd have been thinking a whole lot different. This God is stronger than me, kind of like Elijah with the prophets of Baal. Serve you this day, or choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Or that was Joshua. He said, if God be God, serve him. But if Baal be God, then serve him, okay? So we see, let's just quickly review. We saw the little video clip. To destroy an alien worldview, first of all, we got to be properly what? Equipped. We got to be properly trained. We have to have the right motivation. And we got to be willing to take that motivation and act when the opportunity presents itself. And the opportunity will present itself many, many times. Debbie was not in here, but I love that story. She's at the hospital, and we'll conclude with that. She's in the hospital a couple weeks ago. Bob shared the same type of story. Bob, share that real quick, your story there, because it's kind of, you're a marvel of modern medicine, Bob.
Apparently, Lori still has something more for me to do.
Yeah, yeah. You remind me of that old Operation game. You know, they open Bob, well, here's a wrench, here's shrap metal from Vietnam War, and I mean, some guy found his engagement ring from 30 years ago in his leg, so I don't know how that got in there, but.
Well, he had
Yeah, good. All right, so we will get back to it next week, and we're gonna we weren't able to move on, but we're gonna see that we all have a worldview, and we're gonna take a little test. I know I gave it before, and I think Elma, didn't you get 100% on it?
Yes.
Very good, very good. All right, let's see, Raja, would you close this in prayer?
Thank you, Lord, the sunshine, our church, our pastors, your word, watch over us. Keep us, watch us as we stumble. Be there to support us. And like that song says, walk with me. God bless, amen. Thanks for the food, whoever cooked it. Donna? who cooked breakfast this morning? Sharon, oh, right, good, fine job. Great.
You got a double portion.
I got a double portion, amen.
All right, we're going to start, service will start in about 10 minutes, so.